Good morning. This is Daniel King with the Daily Inspiration. I just want to bless you this morning in Jesus' name. I'd like to speak here some more on the same theme as earlier in the week here. I just want to apologize. I did not get the devotional on yesterday morning, so there was probably the default one from last month. But I spent some on Peter. On some of the things that Jesus was addressing in Peter's life, and I find it both amazing and refreshing and also comforting to know how Jesus works in the lives of those that are seeking him. And I can't help but marvel at some of those ways that Jesus uses to work with individuals. I often have to think about the fact that the last words of Jesus, basically before he left this earth, was that he's telling his disciples to repeat what he just did to them. In other words, he spent 3 years teaching them, demonstrating to them, and also doing the things of God. And now he's saying to his disciples to repeat that process. And what that means is for his disciples to fulfill that, or for his disciples to be obedient to that command, meant to interact with people. And so it really boils down to our ability to relate and interact with people in order to obey that commandment. And that's why I find it fascinating to study how Jesus related and interacted with people. And there's a verse here in Hebrews 2, Hebrews 2, verse 9, says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captive of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." I find that such a blessing. I think I had mentioned that a few days ago here with Peter, that that he's not ashamed to call, he was not ashamed to call Peter his brother, even before he was made perfect. And that's what I'd like to just mention here as I begin with John. He was not ashamed to call John his brother, even though you see many things in John. There were attitudes in the Apostle John while he walked with Jesus that were quite shocking if we really, you know, look at them. But even through the midst of that, Jesus was not ashamed to call John his brother, while at the same time he didn't just leave John go without addressing it. And that's the challenge that I feel like I face many a times, is that yes, we do not need to be ashamed to call those our brother who are not yet fully sanctified and who still have attitudes and things in their lives. But if we're like Jesus, we would, you know, we will be interacting with those people and doing what we can to help that brother through those things. I'm thinking of some verses here. It says, in one of the prophecies of Jesus, it says that this child shall be for the rising and the falling of many in Israel. And I believe both John and Peter were in that state. They both rose and fell. And when they fell, they saw themselves. And then after they fell, they rose again. It's Simeon, Luke 2, verse 34. It says, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And then I have a verse here in Mark 3 that I'd also like to read. And that says that, it's talking about the Apostle John. It says, Mark 3, verse 17, it says, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And speaking of John here, I'd just like to point out that it seems fairly clear that it is actually Jesus that is giving him this nickname, so to speak, and he's referring to James and John as the sons of thunder. So apparently, James and John's father was a very aggressive man. I'm not sure how else to describe that. He was a very aggressive man. He was probably someone who was domineering. And so with that theme, I'd like to point out a few other things. It's in one of the Gospels where it talks about, it's numerous times when you find James and John coming to Jesus and wanting to be the top of his kingdom. It seems like the disciples had a vague picture of what Jesus was talking about when Jesus was talking about his kingdom that was about to come. And it seems for the most part that they were thinking of a kingdom, an earthly kingdom that's going to be set up a little bit like they were used to seeing around them. And they were, I think also what was happening is they of course, in their lifetime, they had not experienced Israel as being a free nation. But in their whole lifetime, the Romans were ruling over them. But yet they knew from their forefathers or from reading history or basically from reading the scripture that throughout many hundreds of years, Israel had been a nation, give and take. Sometimes they were and sometimes they were under the rule of a foreign nation. But for the most part, Israel was a free nation. And so I believe that James and John, as well as many of the other disciples, were thinking that this is going to be have something to do with Israel being a free nation, with Jesus being the king. And I believe that at the very least, they thought that Jesus would raise up sort of an independent nation with them being part of it. And so with that thought, you see James and John continually trying to convince Jesus that they want to be somewhere on the top, somewhere close to the top as far as ruling this nation or this kingdom that Jesus was talking about. And you even find their mother in on it. And so here you have these two brothers who are continually striving to be at the top, and you have their mother helping them, which means that she was of that nature as well. And then you have their father, whose description was, you know, domineering and leading. And so I believe it was something that James and John grew up with. They grew up with parents who both taught them and who they themselves were highly competitive. They were domineering. They were controlling. They had to be at the top. And I believe that many a times when they were doing that, they were stepping on others in order to get there. If you think about it, a person who is domineering and wants to be at the top has to have people under him, or else he can't really be in the top. And so a person like that will have to interact with people a lot. A ruler interacts with people a lot, whether he's a selfish ruler or, you know, for whatever reason. And so we find the same traits that Jesus had were in James and John and in his family. They were people who interacted with people, although there was a big difference in their nature. There was a big difference in James and John and his parents and their nature in the way they interacted with people, as there was with Jesus and the way he interacted with people. And I believe that James and John came face to face with that reality, the same as Peter did. I believe that Jesus had a way of bringing that fault in John to the surface, the same as he had a way of putting that sword into Peter's hand and brought that thing to the surface for Peter to see. And that's what I'd like to talk about here, perhaps in the next day or two. I'd like to read here in Mark 9, verse 33, where it says that they were walking and they came to Capernaum. And it says, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And I'd also like to say that if you look up the cross references on these accounts, it is written at the beginning of Jesus' ministry that James and John were doing that. It is in the middle of his ministry, and also even at the Last Supper towards the end of his ministry. So this subject was coming up again and again and again. It seemed like it was coming up constantly. And it was usually James and John who were in the middle of it. Now, I believe there was also the other disciples, you know, who were. But it's in one case, it's actually written where it says that they too were in the middle of it, and the rest of the ten other disciples were moved with indignation. So the first point I'd like to point out here is that every time they did this, there was a dissension, there was strife. So the first point I like to make here is every time we are controlling and try to get on top and try to be in leadership to control others for our own self-exaltation, there is going to be strife. And that's what these brothers experienced, and I believe they experienced it throughout their entire lives. I believe it was part of their growing up. They didn't know any better. It was the way their parents were. It was the way they're taught. It was in their very makeup. And they probably didn't even realize what they were doing. But they were causing strife within them. And Jesus said at one point, he addressed them And he said, you don't know what for spirit you are of. And, you know, you can just about imagine, I'm not sure what went through their minds, but I believe that. I don't think they realized what for spirit they were of. So I'd like to continue with this. This will be all for today, but I'd like to continue with this theme for the next day or two. May the Lord bless you.